Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
It has become a Bert Show tradition every 4 years. Now, what's not so traditional is that this year we've decided we're not talking about politics on the Bert Show, man. It's so stressful for everybody. You guys are looking for an escape. We don't want to talk about it either. We're just as stressed. So if we can come in here for 4 or 5 hours a day and not have to talk about politics, that sounds fantastic to us. So we made that agreement, except in one area that you guys have been demanding.
Yes, we are definitely doing our political attack ads again this year.
Yep.
It wouldn't be an election year if we didn't do it.
You want to explain to Abby what those are?
So, Abby, every year since I've been here, and we actually did this on my old show in Raleigh, we would write attack ads for each other, okay? And it's like those quintessential mudslinging, just, it's, you can't even call it vitriolic because some of them are just so stupid, but they're just, we're getting down and dirty in the mud, slinging it. Political attack ads for each other. And so we have saved up audio and we use audio clips of the person we're writing the attack ad for to like turn it around on them. And just we make these outlandish, but I like to think hilarious attack ads.
Some of the ones I'm over the whole election already, not just for the commercials that you can't get away from.
They're everywhere.
Oh my God, they don't stop.
It's the texts.
Hey.
It's the texts also.
Welcome to being in a swing state, baby.
did y'all see the now that's what I call an economic plan one?
No.
I was like, there's no way this is not a skit.
What is it?
It's, you know, like those now that's what I call Christmas commercials.
Sure.
One of the candidates has a now that's what I call an economic plan commercial.
Oh, God.
Like now that's what I call music, like volume 88.
Yes.
And the amount of texts I get every single day now, and there's no way to get around them. You can't stop them. Even when you say unsubscribe, there's another one. I'm just over it. This is the only time we are addressing politics.
Yeah, the election's tomorrow. It'll be over very, very soon.
So we need to draw names right now on who's going to attack who as though we were running for the same seat. Okay?
Got it. All right, so first of all, I can't tell you guys how many times during the show, after the show, when the mics are on, and you guys may say things that I turn to Kaylee and say, save that for political ads.
Oh, God.
So we have a file going.
Perfect.
So the mics are hot in there, so you're recording even when the mics are off.
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
They have to be on, but we say things that don't necessarily make it to air, but it may be in the political ads.
After we do the drawing, can we play one of our old ads for Abby just to give her a little inspo?
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do to make this fair. I've put your four names on little post-its. I'm going to pick a name, and then that is who I'm picking for. Does that make sense? If I open up Kristen's, the next name I pick up will be the one Kristen is doing. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. So the first person I'm picking for is Kristen.
Well, how about that?
I did not plan that. All right. Okay.
So I'm going to be doing my ad for
Mo.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
Mo is going to be doing his ad for
Bert.
Okay.
Right.
Mo, you're attacking Bert. I think that's a given. Bert's going to have to do it for Abby, and then Abby's going to do it for me.
As an example of what these sound like, you have one ready to go in there?
Bert Weiss says he's for women.
but in all the wrong ways.
Shake them bitches.
Did you hear what he said about his competition, Kristen Klingshern?
So hot, so hot.
Bert Weiss's behavior towards women is atrocious.
If a woman doesn't want to be stared at, then she should wear attire that doesn't entice a man's eye.
He says he has a plan for women's rights.
Touch me here, touch me there, faster, slower.
Bert Weiss doesn't belong in office. He belongs in a pigsty. He even admits it.
You guys are 100% right. I am totally disgusted.
He not only lusts for his competitor, Kristen Klingshern, he lusts for Mo Mitchell, too.
Now, I do have feelings for him.
Just listen to what he told Mo Mitchell to his face.
Look, no strings attached, but I want a baby inside of me, and you got to be the guy.
Remember that time he was caught naked in that illegal underground bathhouse?
Hey, I just went there to look at naked men.
But it's not just Kristen and Mo. He's also a cradle robber.
So my fiance is 7 years old.
And Bert Weiss is a proven racist.
You know what? We don't apologize over here. You can be as racist as you want.
He says he's into philanthropy. But listen to what he told one recipient of his philanthropy.
Bitch, shut up. You're lucky I got you anything.
And when asked to speak to the group Orphans Who Love Puppies, Bert Weiss said,
them.
Bottom line, Bert Weiss can't be trusted. Paid for by people who really, really hate Bert Weiss.
Big, big fun.
All right, you get a feel for this?
Yep. Oh, God. Okay.
All right.
We go pretty hard. Do you want somebody else to get a tag so you don't feel like the only one?
I feel fine.
Oh, you feel fine?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm fine. All right, so our political ads are tomorrow.
They are tomorrow.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Mo wants to stick up for himself yet again.
So, I do this often, don't I? There are times in life when I feel like I'm on an island trying to figure the world out. And for some odd reason, I always feel like I see the world very differently than most people. And this is one of those times. And I came in and I made a statement, as I often do, that I don't think much of until I go into my DMs and see how many people have an opinion on said statement. And what that statement was I said at some point, I forget what we were talking about, but I said that I don't follow my lady on social media at all.
All right.
Right. And for me, it's really simple. It's just in my experiences of being in a relationship before, social media was never beneficial to my relationship at any point.
It got in the way, made some tension.
Always. Mm-hmm. Like it was times when I would just be saying to myself, If I didn't have a social media, we would not be having these arguments. There would just be no reason to argue because I don't see what social media does well for my relationships, but I certainly see where it harms my relationships.
What was the conflicting part before? Was it just you commenting back when somebody was commenting to you? Was it the pictures that you were posting that were misinterpreted by who you were dating? What was the tension?
It could have been a little bit of anything. A lot of times it was the comments. It was like things that are out of my control, what other people would comment on pictures that I have taken or something that maybe she saw from my past before I was with her that irritated her. Could really be anything, right? But I made the conscious decision of now I'm going into a relationship that I want to work. I want it to be long-term. For me, it was like I went to her and I said, this is probably going to sound a little crazy and I know you're probably not going to love it, but I really don't want to mix my relationship and social media. And at first, I think like most women, she felt like I was hiding her. Mm-hmm. Like that was her issue, right? And I'm like, listen, if you really feel that way, then I'll think about it. I will consider changing my stance. But in all sincerity, like who are we proving something to?
Mm-hmm.
Like who do you want to have this validation? Because I'll show up to that person and we can just pose for them. Like, it don't have to be on social media. Yeah, right. What is it really going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, she thought about it, and she was like, you know what? You have a point. And so I think there was still a part of her, and it probably still is, that's like, I still don't love it, right? So I told her, I said, okay, give it a year. Let's see how it plays out. One of her friends got into a relationship that was going really, really well, and for about 10 months, they seemed to be doing just fine. First major argument that they got into was over social media. It was over something that she saw on his social media. They literally have not been the same couple ever since. And in my mind, this is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So now you fast forward to one of my best friends, right? And I came in here last week and I said that my dude found somebody who he seems to be in love with and she is returning the energy. So much so that now I introduced them to the point where it was like, I'm not even seeing my guy anymore. So I'm starting to feel away, right? And I'm like, maybe I should not have done this. But that was all in jest, but in sincerity, like, he came to me and was like, hey, I'm kind of thinking about going on this journey of not involving my relationship on social media like you do. What do you think? And I'm like, listen, I stand by it. It's been so peaceful for me. I mean, we barely fight over anything at all because I realized that's where the majority of my arguments and fights were coming from.
Silly, huh?
So I would stand on it. If I were you, I would give it a shot. So he wanted to do it. She didn't like it. She didn't like the thought of that. She was like, I'm not going for that because I feel like you're hiding me. So he didn't stand on business and he said, okay, fine. I'm not going to. It's fine. It hasn't been 2 months. It has not been 2 months. And she posted something at a work event that she was at. And he came to me and he was like, yo, I don't really like the way this dude is hugging her. I said, and it begins. And it begins. So then he brings that up to say to her, you know, I'm not trying to make a thing of it. But that dude, like, I shouldn't be able to see his fingernails from the way he's, like, all the way.
So he's got his hand all the way
all
around.
All the way around.
Waist.
Right? Okay, it was like, his, like, I shouldn't be able to see his manicure. That's a little too much. Like, yes. he should slide that hand back a little bit.
Yeah, you should just have it on her butt. not have it all the way
if
around.
If you're going to do it, commit to it, right? So then I think he was expecting her response to be, okay, I understand, all good. It wasn't. Her response was, yeah, well, I was on your social media, and then she started bringing up all the things she didn't like.
And she had just been, like, burying it.
Exactly. So she doubled down on how she felt about his social media. He's doubling down on how he feels about her social media. And I stopped him for a second and said, bro, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Y'all were just flying high, not a worry in the world. And y'all still in the honeymoon phase. But here we are, your first major argument where the two of you are not even speaking to each other right now is over social media. And to me, when everybody was in my DM saying, I don't understand that. I don't get that. Why would you do that? I'm confused by the confusion because this seems so obvious to me.
You know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what they think, right? If this is what's going to be healthy in your relationship, who cares? I told you guys last week, not one argument, not one bit of tension between me and Amanda for 10 months. One post on social media, so many comments. She's running into the house crying to me. No more social media for her and I. It's done. It's over. You don't need it.
You don't need it. And I mean, you know, to each their own, of course, if it floats your boat. But for me, I absolutely stand on separating your relationship from social media. You will be surprised at how much it takes away from your relationship.
So tell me how you feel about those couples that have a joint account.
Yuck. That's the only way I can put it.
If you ever see Abby and some dude in an Instagram handle, someone come find me because I'm being held hostage.
Now, dude, protect your relationship, man. Who cares what anybody else says?
Absolutely.
Right?
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, let's get back to Lisa here because she was promising us some drama on Friday going to this wedding. Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. All right, Lisa. So for those that didn't hear this on Friday, you were pretty sure there were going to be fireworks at the wedding because the groom knew that the bride had messed around and he was holding on to it.
And not just messed around, but messed around with his own brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there was definitely fireworks. Okay, so I'm ready to pour the tea.
All right, bring it all. Bring it all.
Cup is ready.
Okay. So I went and everything, and it was beautiful. Ooh, it was money was laid out. Oh, it was nice. Well, the groom did not show up.
So he opted to go for the no-show.
But he didn't leave without leaving a mark.
Okay.
You know? So it was about maybe 10, 15 minutes after the wedding was supposed to start and everything. And so we was like, well, what's going on? I had to put on my acting skills. So the family, you know, they sent up representative and everything and stuff. And they was just like, we're sorry, but the wedding will not take place. No explanation given. Mm. But they was like, we appreciate everybody being here. Please join us for the reception. So, of course, you know, I was ready to go because, you know, that's the whole point of going to the wedding is the food. You got to eat.
Absolutely.
So we get in there, we're having some drinks and everything, but the family is there. Her family is there. His is not.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So I'm looking like, okay, well, where is his family? What's going on? And I see another person that I know that knew the tea also. And she gave me the eyes. Y'all know the eyes. Make eye contact with somebody and the other person is like, mm-hmm. big eyes, like, I got some information. Yes. So while her family was there, they wasn't speaking, right? You could tell there was some tension. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That was a butter knife. Anyway, so she takes me into the bathroom and everything. We over there, we make sure ain't no feet and stuff in there. You got to do check. She starts pouring, honey. So the bride was in the bridal suite with all the bridesmaids taking pictures, you know, had a little toast and everything. Everybody was just kikiing. And the groomsman come in. A groomsman comes in and gives a box to the bride, you know, like a little gift before the wedding.
Yeah.
She opens that box in front of her whole family and friends and everybody there, whatever. Woo! It's a picture of the brother's, the groom's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So the picture of the groom's brother with a note written on it talking about, you two deserve each other. I'm out.
Whoa.
Whoa. Wow. So everybody's in the room trying to put together exactly what's going on. And here it
exactly.
is. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And so comes out, the mama was like, what is this? The grandmama was like looking around, you know, she old granny is old. Can't figure out what everybody's like, what is that? One of the bridesmaids was just like, oh my gosh. How'd he find out? It was just, and so that even opened the bottle up even more. Pandora's box just kept falling out. Woo, she had to explain it all. I had to tell. Oh, she was distraught.
Oh, I
she
bet.
She was inconsolable. She could not, OMG. Woo, honey. We was in there like, I cannot believe that's what he did. So that's how it all came out. And to top it off, this is the next thing. He clearly was unbothered because there's a post of him at their honeymoon place. He hopped on the plane and went on the honeymoon.
He, by himself?
He had the beach drinking Mai Tais and everything. So I think in the picture, I think there might be a picture of a little piece of a foot, a female foot to the side.
Oh, he's already moved on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because the brother had to be around there somewhere, right? I mean, it's the wedding, so the...
No, she said the bride's family was there, but the groom's family
groom's
didn't.
Groom's nowhere to be found. Okay. Wow. That's dramatic.
Right. Well, see, this is the other half. So whenever the groom didn't show up, his family started asking questions and everything and stuff. And so he got in touch with his family and told what went down also. So they was handling their business off-site.
Gotcha.
Damn.
Wow.
That's too Woo! Much, man. That is too much.
That is... That's one hell of a wedding, man.
Yeah. Most guys can't hold on to that, man.
That is impressive.
They would have. Yeah, because you also have to think of everybody that showed up from out of town. Mm-hmm. Everybody, because she told us on Friday about a quarter of the people knew what was going on. That's 3/4 of the people that took time out of their day, flew into town, and had no idea this thing wasn't going on. All right, it's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
First of all, what a scene Saturday night in downtown Atlanta. as you have the Billie Eilish concert going on the same time as the Atlanta United playoff game. Made for a traffic nightmare. A nightmare downtown.
What a fun, eclectic array of people.
It really was, man. The Uber driver was telling us, he's like, I am telling you guys right now, it is going to take me another 45 minutes to drive to Mercedes-Benz. We're about a mile away. He's like, you guys can do what you want, but if I were you guys, if you want to be there on time, start walking. So we did.
Yeah.
I was with your husband, and I was with Amanda also, and we start walking. And one thing I noticed that I have never seen in Atlanta before at any concert was the tent city that was put up for Billie Eilish hours and hours and hours before the concert.
Wow.
Yeah, did you guys see
like
it?
Like a day.
Was it a day?
I saw like 24 hours, and I don't know why people were lining up. I know sometimes, like at Taylor's show, it was for the merch, but I didn't, no shade to Billie, but I didn't know that she would have that kind of sway.
I think maybe people wanted to get into the stadium
early
because there were so many people in the streets, and there was the longest line I've ever seen around Mercedes-Benz.
That reminds me, I think, remember that the floor is general admission as
no,
well.
That would be why.
Okay, I mean, it was a tent city. It's what I saw in L.A. in the middle of intersections last time I was out there. It was crazy.
No, that makes sense. If the floor is general admission and you want to get as close to the stage as possible, then you're going to... You're going to sleep in a tent if you're a huge Eilish fan.
Wow.
So if you were there for the Atlanta United game, and you went too, right?
I was there.
You
was
were.
Yep.
It's great. One of the best soccer matches I have ever seen in my life. Unbelievable. First of all, Miami is the number one seed, and Atlanta barely got into the playoffs. Like the last day you could get in, I told you guys they had to, four things had to happen around the league for them to get into the playoffs. So everybody just assumed when they were playing Miami that Messi would score a whole bunch of goals and Atlanta United would be out in the first couple of games. Well, this is a best of three, and it is 1-1 at this particular time, and now we're in the stoppage time. And if you're not into soccer, that means the game is 90 minutes long, but they kind of stop the clock when there's an injury. They add time. So we're 45 seconds away from the game being totally over in stoppage time when this happens.
Will there be another chance? Rios, Muyumba, Maranchuk, John De Silva! They're alive! Atlanta lives! Putting pressure on Inter Miami and Drake Callender. But if Legault's not going to step to John De Silva, then Drake Callender's going to have to dive, turn around, and grab the ball out of the back of the net. Because guess what? It's 2-1. Atlanta United in front of 70,000
wow.
at the Benz.
That's incredible,
you
man.
You gotta believe, and Rob Valentino believed 10 days ago.
Well, they have forced.
Okay, you can turn it down now. So his mom was sitting right behind us. I didn't realize until
no
the
way.
End of the game.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was very special that all three of us, Bart, Amanda, and I, got to sit and watch the game with David Beckham and Posh.
Mm-hmm.
With them, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, they could see them.
Yeah.
They're breathing the same air.
Don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story. They were one section over in their suite. They were watching the game.
Uh-huh.
We were watching the game.
Uh-huh.
We watched the game together.
I heard they opened up the entire Mercedes, because Messi was in town, because
uh-huh.
he plays for Miami, that they opened up all of Mercedes-Benz. So that place was packed, and I'm sure when Atlanta United scored...
It
erupted.
It was erupted.
The stadium went crazy. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. Like, I've seen stadiums erupt, but it was... Like, it felt like the stadium shook.
This is the beauty of sports here, too, because I don't know if in your section it was happening, but in my section, people that I didn't even know, we were hugging each other,
yeah.
high-tending each other, right? Didn't want to leave the stadium. It was really great.
Man, it felt like Music Midtown, where I'm going through Instagram stories and literally everyone was there. And I had tickets and I had to give them away because my daughter got the flu. So I gave them to intern DeAndre. And I'm like, no big. It's cool. I'll just like revel in the score after. And then seeing everyone documenting the game, I was like, I want to be there so bad. Everyone is there. It looked like electric.
I mean, 71,000 people for a soccer match anywhere in the world is huge. In fact, I think Atlanta United last year, or maybe it's this year, drew like in the top 10, the average going to the games, top 10 in the world. So that means all your English Premier League teams, your Spanish team, anywhere in the world, it's right here in Atlanta.
That's because our stadium's so big.
It's awesome.
It's fun, man.
It's awesome. And on the way out, our Uber took a a wrong turn, and we ended up going down a one-way street the wrong way, going towards other Uber lights, and we are behind 1,000 people walking down the street. A couple of listeners spotted us in the Uber, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm not driving." I don't know.
It's not me.
I'm not driving.
That doesn't sound like a 5-star ride.
No, it wasn't. It was one of those guys that's outside that is saying Uber transportation, but they're really not. I know you're going to take my money. I don't care. And then the next night, not so happy for Mo.
Yeah, I spent the entire weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium pretty much. And shout out to Whatnot, which is a social marketplace online. And they gave me some tickets to go see the game from their suite, which was a great time. They sell a lot of like sports memorabilia, luxury bags, things of that nature. But they treated me very well, and the experience was incredible. The Dallas Cowboys, not so much.
Blast.
And I did say I had a feeling we were going to lose. Mm-hmm. So I did go at least prepared to lose. And a part of me, as much as I hate to admit it, is happy to see the Falcons mm-hmm. winning, because the Falcons fans really do deserve that. And they were very nice about it. Like, I just knew they was going to give me the business for having Cowboy stuff on. But no, they were just looking at me like, "You'll be all right. Keep your head up."
That's
but
worse.
Yeah, I yeah, kind of like is,
pitying
right?
Pitying you, right?
But yeah, it was cool. I did plan on losing. I didn't plan on our starting quarterback getting hurt. So it got worse. And yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are down bad, man. But the Atlanta Falcons look great.
Yeah, I think I heard them say on the radio that this is the best record they've had at this time in the season since like 2016. So they're on a roll right now. Maybe it's time to start believing them.
No, you can feel it. Like, genuinely, every Falcons game I've been to since I've been here, it was something that was a little different about this one. You can tell that the fans are like all in. Everybody truly believes, and they should. The Falcons look great. Cousins looks great.
All right, so while we were fighting crowds at Mercedes-Benz, Kristen was fighting a little kid at Fernbank.
Dude, in her face! Like, I shut her down! All right, so we went to Fernbank Museum. It's one of Jimmy's favorite places. Granny was in town, so we wanted to take her to where we go see the dinosaurs, right? Because Jimmy is obsessed with dinosaurs. So we go to Fernbank, we're showing Granny around, and we were in the area, like, you know, going through the time of Georgia or whatever, and we got done, and there's this one little area that I hadn't seen before, and I walk in, and, like, there's this huge animal climbing a tree, right? And it's massive, and it's all, like, furry, and I have Jimmy there with me, and there's a father and his, like, 6 or 7-year-old daughter that's there, and I tell Jimmy, I go, "Jimmy, that's a giant sloth." And this little girl goes, "No, it's not." And I go, "Excuse me?" She's like, "No, it's not." And I pointed to, like, the placard, and I go, "This is a giant sloth called mega blah, 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 whatever." I read the sentence, and her dad, I could just tell, was, like, mortified. And he was like, like, trying to, like, wave her off or whatever. Now, listen, I was really nice about it, but I'm not about to have a 6-year-old up in my face telling me I'm wrong when I know I'm right.
Right. 6, you know it all, man.
So I read it, and she just kind of stood there, and she goes, "Huh." And I go, "Hey, high five. We learned something new today." And she was kind of like,
"You showed her."
It was a very, and then, so my mom is there and Jimmy's there. And then the dad is just like, again, I was nice about it, but I was like, "Nah, B, like, this is a giant sloth."
"Not today.
I know I got a state education from Kentucky, but I know my giant sloth." And then mom was like, she just looked at me and she goes, "I loved every second of that."
I bet she did. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Spoiler alert, the good news is Messy Mikey survived.
Yay!
We do know that.
He's alive.
returning kicks from a professional women's football team. Well, sir, congratulations, you made it.
Thank you. So I honestly can't tell you how happy I am to be alive.
Just such a shame that you're maimed from the waist down.
So we sent Mikey out to return kicks with the Atlanta Rage women's professional football team over the weekend, not really knowing how he was going to do at all. It happened in the morning, and I wanted an update, just a little concern. So I hit Jackson up, who was doing the play-by-play for the whole thing. I'm like, how's Mikey doing? And he sends me a text back saying he broke his arm.
Wow. I mean, the reason we did that was because originally Mikey and I went and got breakfast after the whole thing was done. And then I was like, oh, I should probably text Tommy and let him know how it went. And then immediately we were like, all right, let's tell him that you're in the hospital. And we played it off pretty good. We actually got Tommy and told him that Mikey was in the hospital.
Yeah, I want to thank you for that, because I was at the hospital getting a heart thing done. And you text me right before I went into the heart thing. So thanks for that. I'll fall for it. And I'm sitting there. I was like, oh, God, I gotta text Kristen and Bert on a Saturday morning and tell them Mikey's in the hospital and Bert's going to have to pay a big hospital bill.
I immediately thought prank right off the bat. So I said to Jackson, send me a selfie of you right now in the hospital. Right now. So he's like, okay, I will do it. But right now he's in the examination room. So I'll send it to you in a couple of minutes. So the picture I get is Mikey with a broken arm, right? But a full head of hair. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. It's amazing that they set his arm and they grew all of his hair back from his shaving a couple of weeks ago.
I had to make my mom pull over and find a picture of me with a broken arm.
All right, so who wants to take this from the top?
All right, well, I honestly can't even describe to you guys the amount of fear I had going into this thing.
I bet.
I lost sleep really bad because I am breakable. My bones are almost on the outside of my body. I have a very low tolerance for pain. And, I suck at football. So I was like, going into it, I was like, I'm going to be lucky if I get out of this with a broken arm.
And your height and weight again?
130 pounds, soaking wet, and 6 foot tall.
6 foot.
But yeah, before we started, I was shaking. Like, I had the nervous shakes. I was positive I was going to end up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
I mean, it didn't help that when we got there, like, the head coach was there and maybe one or two players, and everyone was a little bit standoffish at the beginning. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, this is going to go really poorly.
Did they know that he was friendly, like he wasn't talking crap, or did they look like they were foaming at the mouth to get out?
They just seemed like, this is business, we're going to get him. Okay. Like, they wouldn't talk to me. It was very scary.
It's not a game to them.
No, not at all.
So reset two, like, what was the incentive? Like, for every yard you gained, you got what?
That's right.
$10. I couldn't even think about that. I didn't care at
just
all.
Live.
I wanted to survive.
Survive in advance, man.
Oh,
that's
boy.
It.
But eventually everyone, like, when more people started showing up, I was kind of telling Mikey, like, go in there and you've got to kind of butter them up a little bit so that they don't actually try to murder you out there.
Yeah, make them feel sorry for you. Be really pathetic.
They were also, like, doing an actual practice just because they were all out there. So they started, like, running those little lines. I don't even know what that stuff is.
They were doing ladder drills.
So yeah, doing drills. And so I jumped in there with them. That was embarrassing. I looked like an absolute idiot. We got video of that, too. I can't do any of that stuff. The coaches were screaming at me too, like, move your arms, get your hips down. And I was like twerking out there. I didn't even know what I was doing.
So I think we have a full recap of what went down this this past weekend.
Good morning from a beautifully cloudy and foggy day. Our very own Mikey Wakefield of The Bird Show is going to be going up against professional women's football team, the Atlanta Rage.
I'm a little nervous that they're going to destroy me.
What do I do?
I got a family. I got a couple of dogs. I got things going for me, so please leave me with my life.
We are sorry in advance.
There are 7 ladies that are currently lined up in formation ready to kick off to him. Mikey, standing tall like a thin tree. And the kick is off. He is going and fielding it right now. Straight off of his chest.
I did not still get tackled if I don't have the ball.
Kick is off. Mikey's standing underneath it. He has caught it. A perfect catch. He is running up right now. He is getting tackled. And he is down. He is down.
Oh, yeah.
Got him out. 5 yards.
Oh, the wind. I got no wind left in me. That hurts. What are they acting like that doesn't hurt for?
Mikey's getting underneath it. A perfect catch again. He's cutting to the right. 1 yard, 2 yards. He is complete though. Nope, there is zero chance, and he is down.
Oh, boy. I got maybe one more, two more in me. That's scary. They all look so mean. They were so nice before.
Here we go. Another kick. And the kick is off.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of a squib.
Wait,
Mikey's going
happens?
To get it.
What happened?
No, he has completely run off the field. And the kick is off. A little bit of a shorter take. Mikey did not run up to that one at all. He caught it on the first pass. He's now running to the left side by 1 yard and minus three. And a fumble! We have a fumble!
I can't push anymore.
Kick is off.
Oh, boy.
Well, she got a little bit underneath it. It's a little short. Mikey is...
I'm scared.
He doesn't want to touch it. He completely backed off the ball and gave up on the play. The kick is off. Oh, this is a much better kick. He still is coming up short on it. He caught it on the first bounce. He is now running. That is 1 yard. He is now completely running backwards, but he has not been tackled yet. He is taking the sideline. 1 yard. He is screaming at the top of his lungs. It is taking two of them to take three of them to take him down, and he is down.
I am bleeding. I got a big bruise. I can't tell if I'm crying or sweating. These some of the scariest women I've ever come across in my time.
That is it, ladies and gentlemen. He has finished the challenge. There are handshakes and high fives going on all around us. Truly, the heart of a warrior.
A lot of the same comments Dak Prescott was making this week. Against the Falcons.
I would actually watch football more if they screamed like little banshees.
Like he was in a haunted house. Hurt.
They look so nice before. What happened?
So I got cleated on one of them. So I got my shin stepped on by a cleat. That sucks. So yes. I'm walking like an old man. I got nothing left.
But how many yards did we accrue?
What do you think, Jackson? I ran it like 7 times. I maybe got 2 yards. Damn. Each time. Like, I kept on doing it.
He had 1 or 2 pretty solid ones. I think we calculated the total cumulative of about 20 yards for the entire
okay,
time.
Okay, fair enough.
Also, there was one where I almost got through, and I don't know what their incentive was, but they said, do not let him through. So they went like they went crazy. It was like a swarm of bees. Like they were like, uh-uh, he is not getting one.
When you watch the video is just so magical and so many. But there is one where Mikey looks at the ball, and then he's like, oh, hell no. He literally just runs off the field like Forrest, just going for it, just running away.
Because I don't understand why they're still attacking me when I didn't have the ball.
The video is up online right now on our Facebook page and on YouTube also and at thebirdshow.com. And one thing you are really going to notice also, it's the first thing that stood out to me is how sweet these women are is they weren't even wearing their helmets.
Yeah, what was up with that? Why didn't they wear helmets?
They didn't even wear
their
helmets.
What? No, they didn't wear helmets.
Because they would have crushed
it. I was so happy when I saw that.
Okay, so the helmets would have hurt him?
They made a statement like if they all wore their helmets, there was actually a much higher chance of him getting legitimately hurt, and they did not want any liability on themselves, so they were like, Mikey's going to have the helmet, and they're all going to be non-helmeted.
He was up there yelling like that. They ain't even had helmets.
Oh, yeah, because when I watched it, I'm like, why are they not? Aren't they worried? And then I saw them go after it, and I'm like, oh, okay.
There was one lady tackled me 3 times. She didn't even have pads on.
She might have just been on the same field doing something else.
She was a listener.
All right, so huge, huge thank you to the Atlanta Rage again. These women who are going out there doing what they love. Tommy, when does their season start again?
I think their first game is in April, so this is kind of the off season for them, which is why there weren't as many people as they could have been, as there could have been. But we're really happy that they showed out.
And also a big thanks to Corey Milton, who is the owner, the head coach. He's also the stylist of the team. He also, I think, landscapes the football team. he fits them. He does the whole thing. So big time thank you to you guys. And the video is up online right now at thebirdshow.com.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
A model who says that she was at one of Diddy's freak off parties is detailing one of the most bizarre things he brought out, and it has everything to do with one of his ex-girlfriends. So this is from Rachel Kennedy. She was on the Daily Mail's The Trial of Diddy podcast, and she explained what it was like to be invited to one of these parties, what it was like to show up, and what actually went down when she got inside. So she said that she had been invited to go to a Diddy party thinking that this is just like a normal event. Like, okay, there's going to be 500 people and, you know, probably some booze and hard drugs and music and blah, blah, blah.
So, you know, the normal.
You know, normal party favors that you would see at a, you know, a nighttime activity. And so when she showed up with some friends, she said that Diddy greeted them at the door with nothing but a bathrobe on and he was holding some champagne. And so she was like, oh, so this is a party for you. And we are just like the three guests that have shown up. She said, I realized before we even walked through the front door that it was just him. I was like, quote, this is not a party. So then she said the most uncomfortable part of the whole thing was, of course, like, yes, some intimate activities began and he was being very like commanding. She said that there was no forcing going on, but it was very much like, you do this, you do this, you do this, very much in the sense of like being told what to do. But what was really uncomfortable, she said, was that he decided to play Jennifer Lopez's music videos on repeat in the background. Obviously, they dated for a couple of years from 99 to 2001. So she's like, okay, this whole thing is obviously already very uncomfortable. The fact that we were invited under the guise that this was a party. And now this is very much like not a party that we were expecting. And on top of that, you're going to have J-Lo playing on in the background, your ex. Like, what is all of this? So basically, she just said this, it was a very uncomfortable situation. They weren't forced to do anything, but it definitely wasn't what they were expecting.
You know, Diddy has put himself in this position that any rumor or anything that's said about him is believable now. I mean, who knows at the end of the day what is and what's not, but we've heard so many naughty stories already that anything that's said, you're like, okay, that probably happened.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell. And I mean, the stories are plentiful and they are just coming out from everywhere. But I at any point that I go to anybody's home and they answer nothing but a robe, Dad, I'm turning right around. Mm-hmm. That is a party I want no part of.
I'm immediately uncomfortable. So interesting story from the inside. I'm glad that she doesn't describe it as like a situation where she was forced or drugged or anything, but I don't know. Like, you show up and someone's got anything to do with their ex, like photos or videos, immediately weird.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately weird. All right. The director of the Joker film says that there's one thing that shouldn't be allowed in movie theaters. And I actually thought it was really interesting to hear a director talk about this. So this is from Todd Phillips. And he said that when you go to a movie, you've already paid for your ticket. Why are they showing commercials? Why do they have previews before the movie actually starts? Like, typically, like if you download a game on your iPhone or if you're watching free cable TV, the payment is the fact that you're watching all these advertisements. So he's like, why are you paying $14, $15, $16 for a ticket and sitting down through all of these commercials when you've already... like, you've already paid for admission.
And these aren't the other movie trailers we're talking about. We're talking about, like, I'm just pulling one out of my booty. T-Mobile ad, Mike, come on.
Yes. Uh-huh. He says, stop showing commercials before the movies. We paid for our tickets. We're excited to be there. The commercials tend to take the air out of the room.
I didn't realize they played commercials before movies. I thought they only played trailers.
You got to get there real early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's commercials and then the previews. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. But even, I mean, why
are you getting there that early?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I like the commercials and the previews because I'm be late.
Right?
Buy me some time.
And some people like to be prompt. Some people like to get there, sit down with their seat, enjoy a nice soda.
But you have, no joke, you have like over 15 minutes of trailers sometimes before the movie even starts. So the fact that you're getting there, you're getting to your movie. If you're getting to your movie over 20 minutes early, you need to get on anxiety meds.
If they're showing commercials in the middle of the movie, I can understand why they got a problem with it, but it's 20 minutes before the movie even starts.
If you answering them trivia questions, you are entirely too early. Yes.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Some people enjoy being prompt. It's respectful.
That is more than prompt.
Yeah.
All right, Quentin Tarantino is also talking about the one thing that I can't stand with Hollywood today, and it's remakes. He feels the same way. Like, why do we have another Dune movie? Ripley Films, Shogun. Like, he's like, I watched all 13 hours of Shogun when it first came out in the 80s. No matter what they do with it, it's not going to be any more interesting than it was the first time around.
I disagree, man. I disagree. It was great.
Wasn't it like nominated for the most amount of awards or something?
Fantastic.
Yeah, so this is the one time Quentin Tarantino is not right when it comes to filmmaking. All right, a highly anticipated Disney sequel will never see the light of day because of one character. I'll tell you what the director revealed on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.